Well, welcome back once again to our study of John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. The last time we were together, we spoke of the Bayans and his friends and how they overtook Hopeful and Christian and were basically tempting them to go after a religion, a Christianity, a spirituality that was easy and that afforded them the comforts of this life. And Christian and Hopeful resist that and show them the folly of what would have been, Bunyan's version of health, wealth, and prosperity understandings of Christianity. And at the end of rejecting all of these fleshly comforts, Bunyan shows how they are blessed with spiritual comforts and refreshment. They come by a river, and the banks were pleasant, and they refreshed themselves by the river, and there was a meadow where they lay down to sleep, and it was the spiritual refreshment and ease that can only be had when you reject the worldly and fleshly understanding of refreshment and ease. Christianity is hard. It's a life of self-denial with respect to the flesh, but with respect to the spirit, it is a great delight and joy. Well, as they go on from the river, Bunyan picks up the story. He says, "Now I beheld in my dream that they had not journeyed far, but the river and the way for a time parted, at which they were not a little sorry, yet they dared not go out of the way." So this river that has been such a comfort to them starts to part ways with the way of salvation, with the way to the celestial city. And so they are sorry. They wish that they could continue to go by this refreshing river. It says, "Now the way from the river was rough, and their feet tender by reason of their travels. So the soul of the pilgrims were much discouraged because of the way." So they've had a time of ease, and now they see that the easy path lies outside of the way that they must walk. And that's so true of the Christian life, that there are these pockets of comfort and refreshment, but the way to heaven is difficult and toilsome and filled with trials and difficulties. "Wherefore, still as they went on, they wished for a better way." They prayed for ground that was better. And that's not a wrong thing to do. We can call to the Lord in the midst of our struggles and ask, "Lord Jesus, please, can you ease my circumstances?" It's not wrong to ask for the providence of God to make easier and enjoyable and relieve, the path that we're on. And yet the key thought is to always kindly and humbly entrust yourself to the sovereignty of God, to the sovereign providence of God, because he may grant that request and grant further easy pathway. And yet he may not, and decide that the best thing for you, the thing that tends to your growth and sanctification and his glory and honor, is for you to go in a difficult way and to respond to that biblically in a way that magnifies the grace of Christ. But they ask for a better way. And it says, "Now a little before them, there was on the left hand of the road a meadow and a stile to go over it." Now a stile, S-T-I-L-E, is an arrangement of steps, like a little wooden structure that it's a few steps up that just allows for people but not animals to go over like a fence. And so it's not like a stairway, it's just a couple of steps up so that, human beings who can maneuver can get over a certain way, but that animals would be kept in, to their pasture. So they see a meadow and a stile to go over it, and that meadow is called Bypath Meadow. So Christian and Hopeful come to Bypath Meadow. And Christian says to Hopeful, "If this meadow lies along by our wayside, let us go over into it." And so he went over to the stile to see, and behold, a path lay along by the way on the other side of the fence. And so Christian is asking that the way be made easier. And then all of a sudden he happens upon this meadow where he can see over by the stile. And he says, "Look, the path along the meadow goes right along the path of our way this one is hard, this one is easy. Let's jump over and go to the easy path because it's right alongside one of the other. And so it says, it is according to my wish. God's answered my prayers for an easier way. Here is the easiest going. Come, good hopeful, and let us go over. And hopeful asks, but how if this path should lead us out of the way? How are we going to go over there if we're going to go out of our way to do it? We can never leave the way of the Christian life. We can never leave the path of obedience and faithfulness to Christ, church attendance, submission to spiritual authority, Bible reading, prayer, spiritual disciplines, service, duties. We can't go out of that way. Those are the things, the substance of which the way is a metaphor for all throughout this journey. And if you're saying we need to leave those things off for an easier path, Hopeful says, isn't that going to bring us trouble? And Christian says, no, that's not likely. Look, does it not go along by the wayside? I mean, it's literally one right after another. What's the difference if we walk in this lane or that lane? If this lane is really difficult and that lane's right there, they're right next to each other. And so Hopeful, being persuaded by his fellow, went after him over the stile. And when they were gone over and were got into the path, they found it very easy for their feet. And they, looking before them, espied a man walking as they did. His name was Vain Confidence. And so they called after him and asked him what way the path they were on led. And he called back to them and said, to the celestial gate. And so Christian says, perfect. Look, Hopeful, didn't I tell you so? By this, you can see we're right. And so we follow after the man who says that he's on his way to the celestial city, just like they want to be. Well, what happens? The night comes on, it says. The night came on, and it grew very dark, so that they that were behind lost the sight of him that went before. So it was so dark that they couldn't see the man in front of them that they had seen and took comfort in. And so he, therefore, that went before, Vain Confidence by name, not seeing the way before him, because of the darkness, fell into a deep pit. And so this man goes on, and in the darkness along this way that was easy, because he couldn't see the light of his way ahead, falls into a deep pit to his own destruction. And Bunyan says, which was put there on purpose, made there on purpose by the prince of those grounds, that Christ himself put this pit in this path. Why would he do that? Bunyan says, to catch vainglorious fools with. And Vain Confidence was dashed in pieces with his fall. What's he saying? He's saying that it is vainglorious. It's prideful. It's an empty confidence to hope to get to heaven by any other way than the way outlined in Scripture for pilgrims. If you decide that you know a better way to get to heaven than all those things that I said before, the spiritual disciplines, faithful church attendance, involvement and service, keeping a watch on your soul, all these things that attend Christian duty as outlined in the Scriptures. If you think, you know, that's for the super Christians or that's for some species of mature Christians, I'm sort of still cooking, I'm baking yet, I'm not as mature when I recognize it, but I'm on the same way, I'm coasting, I'm looking for a little bit of an easier path. I don't want to be so set against the world. I don't want to be so earnest about having to mortify my sin. That's tiresome. I have a way of getting to the celestial gate that doesn't involve all this difficulty. Bunyan says, you know what that's called? Vain confidence, vain glory, pride, presumption. And what comes after pride? Pride goes before what? A fall into the pit, into the snare of arrogance. And so you may say, oh, I don't need the way of the Christian life as outlined in the Scriptures. I can figure out my own way that's a little bit easier. But I still have hope of going to heaven. Why not? I say, I believe in Christ. I, you know, do these things every once in a while. That's called vain confidence, empty confidence. You have no substantive confidence to attain heaven in your way, but only in the way of the Lord Jesus Christ as outlined in his word. And so Bunyan says, now Christian and his fellow heard the man fall. So they called to know the matter, but there was none to answer. They only heard groaning. and then said, "Hopeful, where are we now?" And Christian was silent, as mistrusting that he had led him out of the way. And now it began to rain and thunder and lighten in a very dreadful manner, and the water rose. So now they're in a fierce thunderstorm. Eventually, the easy way becomes the hard way, because the way of the transgressor is hard, Proverbs 13. It may promise, your own way may promise relief from the difficulties of this of the Christian life. What your flesh promised was easy will eventually be revealed to you to be harder than the way of obedience. And so they're in this rain, thunder, and lightning storm, dreadful. Water is rising. They're you know, in starting to get in a puddle, in a thing of water that that's difficult to walk in. And then Hopeful groaned in himself, saying, "Oh, that I had kept on my way. Oh, that I had just remained faithful. Oh, that I had never neglected those duties. Oh, that I had not put off the fellowship of the saints. Oh, that I had not relaxed in the fight against sin." And Christian says something really almost humorous, but sad. He says, "Who could have thought that this path should have led us out of the way?" And it's, you know, Hopeful said it. Hopeful said, "Hey, look, if we go this way, what if we get out of the way?" It just shows you how sin makes you stupid. And it shows you the silliness of and the folly of not listening to the counsel of others and being, you know, overly confident in your own way and insisting on your own way. And Hopeful says, "Look, I was afraid." I mean, who could have thought? "I was afraid on it at the very first, and therefore gave you that gentle caution. I would have spoke plainer," Hopeful says, "but you are older than I." And here we learn that sometimes it's necessary for younger Christians to serve as the guides of older Christians. Sometimes older Christians can, for the familiarity of their journey and their Christian life, leave off the duties that younger Christians are still earnest and concerned to betake to themselves and to stand by. You know, sometimes being a Christian for a long time, you can sort of trick your conscience into thinking, "Well, you know, I can't be so earnest all the time. You know, I've learned to get along without being so picky and sensitive." And yet, here's an example. Young Christians, don't be embarrassed to rebuke more mature Christians if indeed it's according to the truth. Fear God more than your older brother, and love them rather than the comfort of your own ease and the relationship that you would like to maintain without conflict. Be willing to endure that conflict for the sake of that person's benefit, because love to them and fear to God ought to be greater than love to self and fear of man. And so Christian says, "Forgive me. I can't believe that I've done this. I've put you into such imminent danger." He doesn't say, "Oh, well, stop being so arrogant and telling me that you corrected me and no, you didn't. And you should have been more plain." There's no sort of self-justification. It's immediately he's corrected and he realizes, "I was wrong and I'm going to confess it and repent and seek forgiveness right now." That should be our practice. And hopefully immediately he doesn't say, "You know what, you Christian, you're just this arrogant, prideful guy. You know, I can't believe you would do this. I told you what was wrong with you. I'll think about it. I'll work on forgiving, but I can't do that right now." No, immediately he says, "Be comforted, my brother, for I forgive thee and believe too that this shall be for our good." Immediately ready to pardon. And Christian says, "I'm glad I have with me a merciful brother." But let's not stand here. Let's go back. And they endeavor to go back, but it's more difficult going back. And they continue to go because they must go. And it says the way of going back was very dangerous. And then Bunyan has a little parenthetical remark of his own as he sort of observes what happens in his dream. And he says, "Then I thought that it is easier going out of the way when we are in than going in when we are out. It's easier going out of the way when we are in it than going in it when we are out of it. It's easier for us to let our guard down and just sort of coast away from the life of faithfulness while we're in it. Much easier to do that than having, you know, flung ourselves out of it and left off of duties and gotten out of our spiritual rhythms and routines, so to speak, to get back into it. And life testifies to us of this principle in many ways. I mean, you take the illustration of exercise, right? If you're in an exercise routine, it's so much easier to let yourself get out of that rhythm to sort of fall off. Well, I was going 5 days a week, now I'll go 3 days a week. I was going 3 days a week, maybe I'll go twice a week. Twice, I can only go once. I'm not even going at all now. And what happens? You know, your muscles begin to atrophy, your conditioning goes down, your lungs' capacity to run and do cardio exercise diminishes. You know, you don't have the stamina that you used to, and it's even harder to get back into that. Now you think, oh, I got to go back to the gym, I got to get back in shape, and when you start, man, does that first week just really take its toll on you, and you've got to really persevere to exercise those muscles back into the state that they were in before. Same thing, you know, same thing with the Christian life. If we leave off the exercise, the constant discipline of exercising our spiritual muscles, so to speak, it's so much easier to just stop doing that than, once having done it and gotten to this place of spiritual lethargy, to press ourselves back in. It's a wearisome way back. It's a difficult way back. Far better would it be to never go out of the way, to never leave off that discipline, to never let those muscles atrophy so that they have to be retrained with greater strength and difficulty and effort expended. Stay in the way. Don't leave off spiritual disciplines. Stay reading your Bible. I mean, you could testify to that, right? You're in a Bible reading plan. You know, it's just one thing that you're doing. I'm up every day at this time, and I'm reading, and I'm doing that, and I'm praying. And then all of a sudden, you leave it off for 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. All of a sudden, it's a month. And when you start to do it again, it's like trying to lift weights with no strength. Far better to just keep up the discipline. Keep up the Bible reading. Keep up the prayer. You know, you let yourself skip an evening service, or let yourself skip a fellowship group service, or let yourself skip a morning service and just say, I'll live stream, or, you know, I'm just tired, I'll sleep in this week. And then it's easier to not go to church the next week or the next time that you're tempted. And all of a sudden you're out of fellowship for months at a time and fallen into sin. As a pastor, I've seen that happen plenty of times to folks in the flock who come back shamefaced and discouraged because they have to confess that they've gone out of the way. Friend, don't do that. Just stay in the way that you're in. Persevere. Keep on. Keep alert, as is that great theme of Pilgrim's Progress. And when the world or the flesh or Satan himself and his minions promise you, aim to deceive you, and say, hey, there's an easier path right alongside the one you're walking that's just going to make a lot easier of a way for your feet. Come over the stile and jump over to this way, to Bypath Meadow, and you'll just have an easier go of things. Remember that there's soon darkness, there's soon a pit, there's soon rain, thunder, and lightning. That's vain confidence. They fall to their own destruction who trust that they can get to heaven in their own way. Stay in the way of Christ.